Would those who are able please stand for the call to worship? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it.
Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Let me see.
Will you come and follow me if your labor call you? Free and never be the same. Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as this unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you in me? Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me? Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me.
Would those who are able please stand for the confession of who we are? We have been called to follow Christ by obeying his one commandment, that we love one another as he has loved us. Let us confess to him that we have fallen short of that love. Let us stand as we're able to confess who we are, loving God.
Forgive us, we pray, and lead us toward wholeness, that we may be filled with your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In silence, let us make our personal confessions. Christ loves us so much that he laid down his life for us and calls us his friends. If we can forgive our friends, how much more does Christ forgive us?
What joyous news that we have heard that in Christ we are forgiven. Such news brings a glow to our hearts and a sense of peace. A peace that passes all understanding falls over us. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us share that peace with one another as we bow or wave across the aisles. May the peace of the Lord be with you all.
Chant a blessing, chant a promise, baptized with the Spirit's sign. With this water, God has sealed you unto love and grace divine. Chant of love, our love's expression, love's creation, love indeed. Fresh from God, refresh our spirits into joy and laughter deep. Child of joy, our dearest treasure, God, you are from God, you came. Back to God we humbly give you, live as one who bears Christ's name. Child of God, your loving parent, learn to listen for God's call. Grow to laugh and sing and worship, trust and love God more than all.
Before we begin the official liturgy of baptism, I would like to invite any child below the age of 16 to come forward. And if the 16 to 22-year-olds want to come forward too, you're welcome. Come on down. David, are you over 22? Okay, so I need you to stick your arms out. You two, look at each other. You need to stand further apart. That's good. Everybody's... I'm going to take the mask. I hope that's okay. Because it's getting harder and harder to talk through. Friends, hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you to the end of the age." Holy Scripture tells us that the promise, God's promise, is for you and for your children and for all who are far away. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls. And there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling.
There is one Lord, one faith,
one baptism, one God and Father or Mother of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Obeying the words of our Lord Jesus and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God calls. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and from death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By the water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of Christ's church, the body here on earth, and we are joined to Christ's ministry of love and peace and justice. Remember your own baptism, or this one, as we celebrate this sacrament, for you are a child of God. I would now invite the Mancuso Combs family, as well as Elder Lou Sidwell and Grandaunt Mary Flanagan, to please come forward. I'm inviting Lou to represent the session, and Mary has agreed to be Rome's sponsor. You can stand. Well, yeah, there's fine. Stay there. And Lou, you're fine for now. Yeah. Mary will call on the family once or twice a year to make sure all is well and make sure that Rome is learning the stories of Jesus. Yeah, it's a good thing. Okay. Lou? Julie, Brandon, do you desire that your child, Rome Corwin, be baptized? Congregation, do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, especially you, promise to guide and nurture Rome and all children by word and
with love and
prayer, encouraging him to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Julie and Rome and Brett, trusting in the gracious mercy of God,
do you turn away from the ways of sin
and renounce evil
and its power in the world? If so, say, I do.
Who is your Lord and Savior? Not yet, soon. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? If
so, say, I will.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
I'd like
to give our thanks and praise. Eternal and gracious God, we give you thanks. In countless ways you have revealed yourself in ages past and have blessed us with signs of your grace. We praise you that through the waters of the sea you led your people Israel out of bondage into freedom in the land of promise. We praise you for sending Jesus, your Son, who for us was baptized in the waters of the Jordan and was anointed as the Christ by your Holy Spirit. Through the baptism of his death and resurrection, you set us free from the bondage of sin and death and give us cleansing and rebirth. We praise you that in baptism you give us your Holy Spirit, who teaches us and leads us into all truth, filling us with a variety of gifts that we might proclaim the gospel to all nations and serve you as a royal priesthood. Remember this? You ready? Watch what happens. Oh, heavenly God, pour your Spirit out upon us and upon this water, that this font may be your womb of new birth. May the child who now passes through these waters be delivered from death to life, from bondage to freedom, from sin to righteousness. Bind him to the household of faith. Guard him to serve you with joy until the day you make all things new. To you be all praise and honor and glory. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who with you, the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. We're going to do what I talked to you about. I want you to stand right up there, okay, buddy? Okay. Come here, a little closer. What is this child's full name? Yeah? Yeah? Hey. See it? Yeah. And warm, just like a bath. Yeah, you can. Yeah. Okay, close your eyes. Rome Corwin, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, you are. You're baptized. Hear this prayer. O Lord, uphold Rome by your Holy Spirit. Give him the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever. Amen and amen. Friends, let us state what we together believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. Third day, he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the community, the forgiveness, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rome, can you hold my hand for a minute? Let's hold this hand. We're going to go up here a little bit. I want you to see something. It's really important. Rome, see all these people? They're your brothers and sisters. Yeah, they're your church family. And I know you have another church family in Columbus. Yeah, you do. And all these people, just like all the people in your other church, they've promised to love you and to help you grow in Jesus. Okay? Just like at your church.
Yeah.
Friends, this is your new brother. This is Rome Corwin, child of God.
Yeah, that's my
child. That's for you. I'm going to charge you three. You three are the most important brothers and sisters of Jesus that Rome has in his life. Raise him to love Jesus in everything he says and everything he does every day of his life. And go forth yourselves knowing that God has blessed you just as God blessed Rome. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit will be with you all. Amen. You may return to your seats. Oh, I forgot something really important. This is Miss Chris. Better take it out. Let him see it.
This is a prayer shawl. The prayer shawl ministry decided that a prayer shawl might not be the best choice.
Oh.
So we have a member of our congregation that makes blankets, and she made you a prayer blanket.
Oh my goodness, look at that. Rome, it matches your suit. Yeah. Thank you all. Blessings. Did you all see? Pretty cool, huh? You too are children of God. Go to love the Lord each and every day. Amen. And thank you.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come as joy as we celebrate the baptism of your son, Rome Corwin. Come, Holy Spirit. Come as light. Open our mind to new thoughts and to old truths. Come as a redeemer. Help us to forgive and to be forgiven. Come, Holy Spirit. Come as power. Strengthen the witness that we give to your work. Come as love. Open our hearts to love those we have never loved before, to know what it means to love and to be loved. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. A reading of the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. There was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion in the Italian company. He and his whole household were pious, Gentile God-worshippers. He gave generously to those in need among the Jewish people and prayed to God constantly. One day, at nearly 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he clearly saw an angel from God in a vision. And the angel came to him and said, "Cornelius." Startled, he stared at the angel and replied, "What is it, Lord?" The angel said, "Your prayers and your compassionate acts are like a memorial offering to God. Send messengers to Joppa at once and summon a certain Simon, the one known as Peter. He is a guest of Simon the Tanner, whose house is near the seacoast." When the angel who was speaking to him had gone, Cornelius summoned two of his household servants along with a pious soldier from his personal staff. He explained everything to them, then sent them to Joppa.
At noon the following day, as their journey brought them close to the city, Peter ran up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted to eat. While others were preparing the meal, he had a visionary experience. He saw heaven opened up and something like a large linen sheet being lowered to the earth by its four corners. Inside the sheet were all sorts of four-legged animals, reptiles, and wild birds. A voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Peter exclaimed, "Absolutely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke a second time, "Never consider unclean what God has made pure." This happened three times. Then the object was suddenly pulled back into heaven.
Peter was bewildered about the meaning of the vision. Just then, the messenger sent by Cornelius discovered the whereabouts of Simon's house and arrived at the gate. Calling out, they inquired whether the Simon known as Peter was a guest there.
While Peter was brooding over the vision, the Spirit interrupted him. "Look, three people are looking for you. Go downstairs. Don't ask questions. Just go with them because I have sent you." So Peter went downstairs and told them, "I'm the one for whom you are looking. Why have you come?"
And they replied, "We've come on behalf of Cornelius, a centurion and a righteous man, a God worshiper, who is well respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel directed him to summon you to his house and to hear what you have to say."
Peter invited them into the house as his guest. The next day he got up and went with them, together with some of the believers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Anticipating their arrival, Cornelius had gathered his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in order to honor him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Get up. Like you, I am just human." As they continued to talk, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You all realize that it is forbidden for a Jew to associate or visit with outsiders. However, God has shown me that I should never call a person impure or unclean. For this reason, when you sent for me, I came without objection. I want to know then why you sent for me."
Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, at this same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was praying at home. Suddenly, a man in radiant clothing stood before me. He said, "Cornelius, God has heard your prayers, and your compassionate acts are like a memorial offering to him. Therefore, send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who is known as Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, located near the seacoast. I sent for you right away, and you were kind enough to come. Now, here we are, gathered in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has directed you to say."
Peter said, "I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him." This is the message of peace he sent to the Israelites, proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism John preached. You know about Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit and endowed with power. Jesus traveled around doing good and healing everyone oppressed by the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They killed him, hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to be seen, not by everyone, but by us. We are witnesses whom God chose beforehand, who ate and drank with him after God raised him from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he's the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They heard them speaking in languages other than their own and praising God.
Peter asked, "These people have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Surely no one can stop them from being baptized with water, can they?"
And he directed that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited Peter to stay with them for several days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Faith to suit you well. In a blaze of light you wandered off to find where demons dwell. When you heard the wonder of the word, I was there to cheer you on. You were raised to praise the living God, to whom you now belong. If you someone to share your time and your joy in your hearts as one. I'll be there to make your verses rhyme from dusk till rising sun. In the Middle Ages of your life, not too old, no longer young, I'll be there to guide you through the night, complete what I've begun. When the evening gently closes in and you shut your weary eyes, I'll be there as I have always been, with just one more surprise. I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold.
Thank you, Kathy and Mindy. There could not have been a better anthem for Mother's Day and the day on which we celebrate a very special baptism. Thank you. Well, you know, it's kind of sad, actually. Luke writes about the Acts of the Apostles in such a way that it's filled with wonderful stories of the very earliest days of life after Jesus' resurrection. But the lectionary that I follow, as you know, only invites us to read a select few of these wonderful things during worship, most often in the weeks right after Easter. And then they're paired with some of the most interesting gospel stories of all time. So, you know, how often do you get to hear the Acts of the Apostles? But last week, with the help of the story of Philip and the Ethiopian church, the Ethiopian eunuch who wanted to be baptized, we gained a better understanding of what it is to abide in agape love with one another. And in two more weeks, we'll remember the day on which the Holy Spirit baptizes all kinds of people in order to give birth to the church. Yes, it will be Pentecost soon. But baptism. It feels as if baptism is a central theme to the Acts of the Apostles, doesn't it? You have to begin somewhere. And when it comes to the Christian faith, our baptism into the death of Christ is the beginning of our lives in Christ. So today, we're going to remember baptismal beginnings and consider the significance of such an event. In the liturgy we just practiced with Rome and his family, I asked everyone to remember their baptisms. But unlike Olivia, who does remember hers, most of us were too young. So I wonder, were any of you actually baptized like Olivia was at age 4 or older? Yeah? You remember it then? Were you dripped on or dipped? You were dipped. Wow. You know, some people report that when they're dipped, they feel as though they might drown. Did you feel that way? No? Okay. You were dipped too? And Shirley was? And I know Herb has dipped a lot of people.
Were any of you overwhelmed thinking that you were going to die? No, not really. It really does underscore the meaning of Paul's words, which we often read during funerals, you know. He said, all who are baptized have been buried with Christ into death, so that as he was raised from the dead by God's glory, we too might have new life. That's what he said. And while this is what we believe, most of us are rinsed with dripping shellfuls or handfuls of water. It is not as dramatic as being dipped. But the symbolism of being washed of our sin so that we might be joined in life with Jesus the Christ is still understood. Either way, plain, ordinary tap water becomes a visible marker assuring those who are gathered that this person has been named by God as God's own. The act shows us our Lord has already claimed us as daughter or as son, and it illuminates God's promise of ever-present grace, that is, forgiveness, for the moments in which we turn away from our Creator's love and disobedience. This reminder provides a most comforting truth about who and whose we are. And like the Lord's Supper, this sacramental action bonds us to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And while we receive the spiritual strengthening of communion regularly throughout life, we are baptized only once as a way to affirm what God has already done for us. And like we heard in last week's 1 John reading, God loved us and received us into the life of Christ first. And we love because God loved us first. Baptism is a mark, a seal of being loved first. We witness to God's first love when we receive or remember our baptisms. As the water washes over us, the Holy Spirit anoints and seals us in God's promise and unites us as Christ's earthly body with all who have been or will be baptized. So in these last 2 weeks, we've been focusing on two similar yet different baptismal stories. We're celebrating baptism. In both stories, people want to hear about Jesus, and neither of them were Jews. They came from places other than Jerusalem. In fact, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, tells us that though he lived in Caesarea, Cornelius was actually part of the Italian company of Roman soldiers. He came from Italy. Like the Ethiopian, as a centurion, which is kind of like a colonel in our army, he was a man of high rank who was reverent. Surprising, eh? And he encouraged his whole household to be likewise. There's another similarity between Philip's and Peter's stories. Both disciples received direction from the heavens above. The Holy Spirit told Philip to go down that dusty desert road and talk with the man in the chariot, remember? And hearing that voice, kind of odd, but it must have felt tame compared to that vision thing that Peter just went through. No doubt, seeing the animal-bearing sheet being lowered and raised would feel bewildering, don't you think? But like Philip, Peter does as he's told. And soon he meets Cornelius, and God's mission begins to become clear to him. Though Luke provides many more details about his testimony about Jesus than we heard from Philip's story,
Both men are, yeah, they are evangelizing. They are evangelizing people who were not expected. They were evangelizing people who were other. It seems the Holy Spirit is working through ordinary men to alter the track of humanity. It's fairly obvious Peter wasn't excited about sharing his understanding of Jesus with outsiders. But that's the lesson that the vision taught him. Anyone who wasn't pure according to Levitical laws was fenced off to be untouchable, so Peter thought. And until that vision happened, Peter didn't think he should eat certain foods, especially in combination with foods that were approved by the laws. But that doesn't seem to be what the Holy Spirit was encouraging in that vision, does it? The idea of who was in and who was out in early Christianity was being toppled over by the Spirit's mighty winds. Peter had it figured out when he said, God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Period. Whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Now that's an amazing perspective for those times. By sending Peter the vision and mission with the centurion, God was doing a new thing in the world. God was overriding the boundaries of social propriety in the Jewish tribe. The wind of the Holy Spirit blew both Peter and Philip out of their ordinary routines. The Spirit invited them to share the good news with people they would never have ordinarily thought to talk to. And then that same Spirit fell upon all who heard these men's words, causing them around these men to speak in other languages, praising God for the good news of Jesus Christ. Holy smokes. Yeah? Holy smokes. Philip and Peter are not the stars of these stories. They were merely instruments for God to work through. As Methodist theologian Will Willimon has written, and I quote, "The real hero of the story, the star of the drama, is not Peter or Cornelius, but excuse me, the gracious and prodding one who makes bold promises and keeps them, who finds a way even in the midst of human distinctions and partiality between humans." I need to tell you a story. When I first received the email from Julie Combs, I was stunned. Who was she? Why was she asking us to baptize her baby, her son Rome? And at first, I did feel uncomfortable pursuing our conversation. You see, she reached out to us in the midst of the pandemic and asked that the baptism be held in private for safety's sake. All I could think of was private baptisms went against the Reformed understanding of the sacrament. Our baptisms are held among the church community as a way to remind everyone that we are one in God and that though three in one, God is also community, one in three, Father, Son, and Spirit. Not only that, we're to remember the church is responsible for helping nurture the new believer's faith. But as I learned more and more about Julie and her family and her faith, I realized that while it may be a bit untraditional, a private baptism might, just might, be okay. Philip had just one witness, the chariot driver, when he baptized that Ethiopian. And really,
It was a highly unusual time when she first reached out. COVID was everywhere. It was in the winter, for heaven's sakes. The Holy Spirit was blowing our boundaries around. And yes, as it turns out, we are all here together to celebrate the baptism, but I did think that I needed to really think outside of my fenced-in box and more about building relationships. Maybe we were to share the love of Christ with a family that we didn't really know at this point in time. Maybe we were to birth them into the faith so they could be planted and grown elsewhere in Jesus' name at their church in Columbus. Perhaps the Spirit wants us, wants all of us, to be open to the winds of transformation as we move through the time of COVID and into the new times that are coming. Now, that does not mean that I've had any strange visions like Peter's. And I have absolutely no intention of asking any of us to go out to the street corners and offer baptism to all passersby. We're not going to go around, knock door to door. We're not doing that. But I do believe the Holy Spirit is blowing us to consider some unimagined destinations in our life together as Trinity United Presbyterian Church. I suspect that most of these possibilities will be on the less dramatic scale and more on the everyday scale of building relationships with people we may not have known before, as well as with one another. Each person's life in Christ begins with baptism. And today, together, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we've baptized Rome, a child who is related to the church through families who are still, in one way or another, involved. And it's a good thing. We've begun new relationships in Christ's name. Thank you. Thank you for the gift. So, baptism. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. These ideas are central to the Acts of the Apostles. And in them, we who follow the apostles are claimed by God and sent into the new world to serve our Lord. That is the essence, the deepest meaning of our baptisms. These are ancient stories, and they are amazing and life-changing. The Holy Spirit blew new life into Peter and Philip, the Ethiopian and the centurion. The Holy Spirit is still with us. So how will that Spirit blow Christ's 21st century apostles, us, to new life, to share Jesus' good news in these times? I so believe it will be wonderful. Amen.
Baptized.
was in water, sealed by the Spirit, cleansed by the blood of Christ our King. Heirs of salvation, trusting the promise, faithfully now God's praises we sing.
Let us pray. O good and gracious God, we thank you for the spring when new life unfurls like lily of the valley leaves. The pinks and purples of delicate azaleas blossom, and we thank you for migrating birds and streams which rise and rush after the rains. Today, though, O Lord, is dreary and cold. Yet because of you, our hearts are filled with light and warmth as we celebrate your love. The love of a mother for her children who calms us when we are afraid or hurt and sings with us when we are joyous or sleepy. Thank you for being not just our father, but our mother. And thank you for the gift of all women who have shown us your love by mothering us. Bless them as they have blessed us and comfort the hearts of those whose earthly mothers were absent or harsh. Help them heal in your gentleness. Help, too, those women who have hoped for the child who never came or who have lost their child to your home. Guide all mothers through their lives and bring them joy and hope in your love. Hear us now as we lift up to you the concerns of this day. We pray for the world's leaders. Help them to care for all of their people, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, remember your baptisms always. Remember that you are a child of God and have been called to serve and love your Lord in all you think and say and do. So go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Help the weak, support the faint-hearted, heal the sick, honor all people, and go knowing that as baptized children, you have been forgiven and are loved, and go in your service with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit, this day and always, forever. Amen and amen. Thanks be to God.